I thought it was going to be a cold day today. Awesome. Just some notices before we're going. We are now selling tables for our Hoedown for Hospice fundraiser. And so, as I said last week, it's on like Donkey Kong. And if you weren't at the last one we did an 80s fundraiser for the charity hospital. We raised over $20,000 and we're able just to bless them. So this year we're doing one for hospice. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, Hoedown for Hospice has got quite a cool ring. And so there we go, Hoedown for Hospice, full country theme, country rock theme. But we're now selling tables. It's $80 per person. It's a three-course meal and live band, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think there's eight to a table, I think. Is that correct? Yes, I'm getting the nod. So if you'd like to purchase a table. Now, this is something as church at we put on for the community, so there are heaps of things and jobs that we need done, but if you are going, man, I've got some friends and we could get a table together and we would love to get dressed up with chaps and spurs and 10-gallon hats and all of that, then grab a table, and I'd even say that, and I know I'm going to get shot for this. Johanna's going, oh, good Lord, what's he about to say? If you think, look, I want a table, then you can email Judith and say, Judith, I want a table, and we'll hold that table for a week to give you a chance to fill the table with people. How's that sound? So if you think, man, I've got eight people, I better get on the phone to ring them, then this week, if you ring Judith or email Judith, you can either do it through events@churchat.nz, or you can just email Judith at admin or give her a text. Say, I want a table of eight. We'll give you 7 days to try and sell those tickets, and then after that goes back on the market. How's that sound? Is that all right? So that's coming up, and it's just a great opportunity for us to really sow into a worthy community cause here in Southland. Amen? And awesome. Hey, the next thing, and this will be here next week, is we are going to launch a fundraiser for missions. Now, out of our missions, we do obviously some overseas stuff, we do a local stuff. Our Hoedown for Hospice or event that the church underwrites the entire cost for, so that we're able to give all the proceeds for that night to hospice. It all comes out of our missions. And so we're going to start a missions fundraiser. It's going to be here next week, and it's a board. And on the board, it's got cards 1 to 200. And it's simple as this. You just take a card. On the back of the card is a bank number, and you, whatever card you pull off, that's what you put in. So if you go, I'll take the $1, thank you, you take the $1, and you go put $1 in the missions account. That's it. You might go, well, I'm going to take the 2, the 5, and the 5, or the 2, 5, and the 6, or whatever. You might say, I'm going to take the big one, I'm going to take the 200. And basically all you do is take it, and once it's gone, it's gone. So if you want the 200, there's only one of them, so you have to compete and race for it. hey? Might have to increase it. We'll see. But anyway, we're going to do this. And so all of the money raised on this fundraiser is for our missions. And so out of that, like I said, we will come out of the Hoedown and the Philippines work that we're doing there, and also local missions with community care. For those of you who don't know, we have a community care ministry. We have a small food bank available, and we've also got the clothing bank. So if you know people in your world that are struggling for clothes, we have a whole room full of clothes. And Ange operates that. So Ange, put your hand up. This is Ange with her hand up. And so you can see Ange, and we can organize clothes. We've also got a small food bank available. So if you know people who are struggling, we do have facilities that we are able to help with. Amen. So that's some of the stuff we do. Awesome. Hey, as I said on social media this week, we're going to start a new series. And our new series is going to look at our values as a church. What drives us as a church? And what are our values? And over the last few weeks, I've been looking at the values that we've had, and we've redeveloped them, redefined them. And we have established five key values as a church that really underpin everything that we do. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, what is a value? What is a value? Because we're not talking monetary things. So what is a value? And a values are principles and standards or qualities considered worthwhile or desirable. So values are principles, standards, or qualities considered worthwhile and desirable. Core values are defined as the passionate and consistent biblical core beliefs that drive your church's ministry. They are the primary principles upon which your church and ministry are built. They are the foundation. And so as an eldership, we have narrowed it down to five key values for us as a church. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at each one of those values and teach into it and preach into it so that you are aware of what our values are as a church, so that when someone walks in, there's an instant connection with the value, because it's something that it's foundational for us as a church. And aside from the Word of God and God Himself, these are five qualities, five values that are important to us. So our first value is this: we value belonging. We value belonging. Now, if you are visiting with us this morning, this is not a prophetic slide. Or perhaps it is. Perhaps you thought, I'm going to check out this church, and God, I need a sign from you this morning that I fit or belong here. Well, if that's the case, then that's your prophetic slide right there. We value belonging. A place where people belong and feel connected and develop life-giving relationships. A place where people belong and feel connected and develop life-giving relationships. Connection and relationships are, as a church, important to us. And I believe that our vision and what it is to plant congregations and local communities, I believe that's important because it fosters connection. It builds relationship. It builds relationship. The Cambridge Dictionary defines belonging as this: a feeling of being happy or comfortable as part of a particular group and having a good relationship with other members of the group because they welcome you and they accept you. The last few nights I've been doing a bit of TVNZ catching up. And one of the programs I enjoy watching is David Lomas Investigates. And one of the ones that I watched recently was a woman who lived in the UK and moved to the UK at a very, very young age. And through the whole process, if you don't know the program, David Lomas goes on a big investigation to try and find the parents or family connections of the person who was adopted at birth and has no record or no connection with their family. And so this one particular one, she was in the UK, and they connected with her, and the brother who lived in New Zealand, who only found out by looking through his mother, who passed away, drawer, found a photo of this baby and a letter saying that that was adopted out. And so he discovered that he had a sister in the UK that he didn't know about. And so they went and connected with this lady. And it's interesting that right at the very end of the program, where they do the big introduction, and if you've got a dusty room, sometimes the dust gets in your eyes because there's just dust and that sort of stuff. They connect these people together, these people that don't know each other, haven't had any connection at all, didn't know that they existed. And this lady answered a question when David said, "You know, how do you feel?" And she said this, she said, "I finally feel like I belong." It didn't take years to establish. It didn't take a change in her. She didn't have to change anything. She didn't have to become anybody else. It was just that simple feeling within herself of, "I now belong." What an amazing moment for her, that after so long of not knowing she even had a brother, within a moment her life changed, and in that moment finding a place where she now belonged. When we connect, when people connect within our church, whether it is at a service or whether it's through a life group or whether it's through God's guys or wise guys and God's girls or any other events and things that we run, our prayer is that they would have a sense of belonging. That if someone walks in the door, that there is that sense of, "I belong here." That sense, even David, before David handed over the church, had that prophetic word of homecoming, that people would come in and they would just know that they were home. That they would come and they would know and they have that sense of belonging. The need to belong is based on a motivational human need to maintain interpersonal relationships and positive social bonds. And as such, it becomes significant for our overall development and well-being. Roy Baumeister and Mark Leary suggest that belonging is not only good, but that the desire to belong is deeply rooted, is a deeply rooted human motivation that, underpinned by our ancestral origins, permeates our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. God has designed every person to feel an inherent need to belong. Inside every human that walks the face of the planet, there is an inherent need to belong. This lady in the UK, for all her life, there was something that was missing in her life. And the moment she got it through connection of family, she found, like, "I belong." To be the object of someone's love and affection, to experience being known and accepted, to know that they are members of a group or place, there is something about us that needs to belong. So that we may find and experience true belonging in God Himself. When we have been away from God, when we do not know God and we come into His presence and we have that relationship with God, there is a need and a life of belonging that is taken care of because we now belong to the family of God. We belong to Him. Psalm 100 verse 3 says this, "Know that the Lord is God, it is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We belong to Him." Whether you are in church or whether you are out of church, everyone belongs to Him. And so when a human comes into that environment, when a human comes in and experiences that love of God, there's that connection in them of I belong. I'm home. Because He wired us that way. He wired us that way. So what's the opposite of belonging? Isolation. What's the opposite of belonging? Rejection. Experts would say that the opposite of belonging is, in fact, fitting in. The opposite of belonging is, in fact, fitting in. Fitting in is about assessing a situation and becoming who you need to be accepted. Belonging, on the other hand, doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. Fitting in is about assessing a situation and becoming who you need to be accepted. Belonging, on the other hand, doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. Not every place you fit is where you belong. See, when you fit in, you make changes to yourself to fit in, to be accepted. But when you belong, you can walk in exactly who you are and know that you belong. This woman didn't change a thing. It didn't take years of relationship building. She didn't have to move to New Zealand. He didn't have to move to the UK. It was an instant fitting of I've found where I now belong. The thing is that we are wired to be a part of something bigger than us. That sometimes we will take fitting as a substitute. But actually fitting in is the greatest barrier to belonging, because fitting in says, be like them to be accepted. Belonging says, this is who I am. I hope we can make a connection. Why is belonging important to us as a church? You see, the church is not just a club. The church is not just a social gathering. The church is not just a place you come on a Sunday morning because you've got nowhere else to be. You see, our Sunday gatherings are a place where when we walk in, we instantly have a connection with others because it's a place of belonging. And you can come into the church on three different levels. You can come in, you can attend, you can come and you can fit in, or you can come and you can belong. You can come and you can attend, and you come. And that's where it stops. It's kind of like shopping. What can I grab for me today? What's in it for me now? And isn't that the heartbeat of society at the moment? Isn't that like the world that we live in at the moment, where it's all about me? What can I get for me? What can I do for me? Whatever it is about me, that's the most important thing. So when you attend, you come in, and that's where it stops. You come in, and instantly, service is finished, you're gone, out the door. And then you're left wondering why I don't have any connections. You're wondering why I don't have any relationships. You wonder why is the church not doing it for me? I thought church was meant to be the answer to everything. I thought this religious experience was meant to be the hope. But when you attend, you come and you go and you grab what you need and you leave. When you fit in, you change to come. And when you leave because you didn't find acceptance. You feel like I've got to become someone else to fit in to this group. You've got to change who you are to come and be part of what is happening. And so when you fit in, you change to come, and then you leave when you don't find acceptance. Because your acceptance wasn't based on the person you presented. You come in as one, and you're trying to find acceptance based on another. And it doesn't work. When you fit in, it doesn't work. But when you belong, you come. You connect. You find your place, and you be everything that you are meant to be with people who love you. You give. You contribute. You take ownership. It's your community. And when does this belonging start? Like for someone who has never walked into the doors of a church, at what point does belonging start? At what point does the process start? And I would say this: the process starts with the most important person that they meet that morning. And that's whoever's on the door. Whoever is on the door has the most important job. You see, I know we have rosters in the church. I know we have jobs that need to be done, but they're not just jobs that need to be done. They are callings that need to be filled. And the person on the door, if you see your rostered name, you go, oh, I'm on the door today. It's not just about hi-bye. See, when someone comes in, maybe they've come in and they've had a rough upbringing. And they just know that they've got to get some stuff right. And they come into church, and you are the first person they see. At that first handshake, just like this meeting of the woman with the initial meeting of her brother, hadn't seen, didn't even know, there was just an instant, I belong. I belong. And so, if you are the first person that you get to greet someone, it starts there. Everything about us as a church, because we value belonging, it goes through the filter of that. Right down to the morning teas, the meet and greet time, which every time I jump up and say, hey, it's time, why don't you take 2 minutes to go say hi to someone, to bless someone, and I can instantly feel the knives being thrown at me because this is the worst time of church. I can't believe he does that. But to the person who has come in feeling absolute rubbish, to the person who comes in who doesn't want to be here, to the person who comes in who's never been in church before, you going across and saying, hi, welcome to church this morning. Instant. I belong here. I've found home. Belonging, you come and you connect and you find your place and you be everything you are meant to be with the people who love you. You give, you contribute, you take ownership. It's your community. And you stay whether you're in the valley or on the mountain top. You don't leave because as a church, we don't allow you to leave. That's scary. As a church, we don't allow you to leave. And I say that because it's the love of the church. Because the love of our church is not dependent on whether you are here or not. And so we love as Christ loved us. It's not dependent on whether you come. Because when you find that belonging, you know that you belong. There's a place for you here because you belong. That is a core value of church at. Here is the answer to all our longing to belong, our desire to be part of a group, our desire to be part of something bigger than us. God has loved us, and with a love beyond compare, he has declared that we are part of his family. We don't need to try to impress others or live up to others' expectations. We don't need to prove to any group of humans that we are worthy of their attention, or that they need to include us in their group, for we are God's people. We belong to him, and nothing will separate us from his love. In Matthew 4:18, we read the account of Jesus calling the disciples. And in Matthew, it reads, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And they at once left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat, and they, with their father Zebedee, preparing the nets. And Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Matthew and Mark obviously lived with other males, as they give only the headline accounts of this passage. But if you read Luke and John, they must have lived with females because they give a very detailed account of the whole gathering of the disciples process. But if you take all four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and every one of the Gospels makes reference to this. If you take all those four passages and you put them together like a jigsaw, you it gives a clear understanding of what belonging looks like. Why is it that on the words of Jesus, who said, "Come, follow me," did these guys drop everything, got out of their boats and just left everything and followed him? I mean, I know for a fact that if I was out the front of this building and just sweeping, and then all of a sudden someone over the road yells out to me, "Hey, come, follow me," I can tell you what I would do. And it would not be following. It would not be following. I would sift back inside slowly and lock the doors and ring my wife to come and save me. But if someone I knew, someone that I had heard of, if someone I knew that had been spoken about through history was to walk across the road and say, "Hey, Jono, come. Come be a part of what I'm going to be doing. Come and be a part of a group. Come and be a part of history. Come and be a part of something bigger than what you were doing. Come and be a part. Come and belong with me." I would most likely drop everything, drop the broom and go, "I want to be a part of that because I want to belong." And Jesus called to these guys who had a hole in their heart of just wanting to belong to something bigger than them, to belong, to be a part of him. And they dropped everything and they followed him. That's belonging. They didn't have to go and do 3 years worth of detox. They didn't have to go and do 3 years worth of Bible college. They didn't have to go and do 3 years worth of training. Jesus took them as they were. They didn't have to change anything to fit into this group that Jesus had called. They just needed to belong and come as they were and come as they are and allow change to happen over time. That's the power of belonging. And as a church, as we value belonging, as a church, as we don't want people who are tend. As a church, we don't want people just to fit in. As a church, we want people to belong. You belong here. You belong in the house of God. You belong. And as more people come in, my prayer is that they would have that sense within them. As this lady had when she was introduced to her long-lost brother of, "I just have a sense of belonging." When people come in and they don't know God, they come in and they go, I feel like I belong to a family, his family. The value of belonging is important to us as a church. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Like I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at our values. And so they're important to us. is one of the values, correct grammar. If you know me, you know. You know. Come as you are. Come as you are. Let's stand to our feet. See, if I don't do that sort of stuff, you won't spot it. Yeah, it keeps you all alert, and that's why I do it. I know Judith has a field day with me. Every message that I put up on Facebook, my wife goes, "Did you check that?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just read it out of my head. It's fine. There, there, and there. There's only one. Doesn't matter what one you use. Two, and there's too many words. Jeez. All the teachers are shaking their head. Oh, Lord God. Father, I pray that as a church, Father, first and foremost, we would know belonging to you, Lord God. Father, that we are yours and you are ours. Father, I pray that as people come in to our services, as people come in to our life groups, as people come in to the various things that we are running or a part of, Father, just as that lady said, I now have a sense of belong. I feel like I belong. Father, I pray that every person that walks in those doors, every person that walks into our homes, every person that we meet would have that sense of, I have found where I belong. Father, is such a need in our society for belonging. So, Father, we instill the value into the very core of us as a church. Father, we place that value at our foundation, Lord God. And Father, we pray, build your church. Build your church. Build your church. You might be here today and this might be all new to you. It's been a while since you've been in church, or you've never actually been in a service like this before. And if you're here today and that's you, I want to say these words to you. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. This is where you belong. You might not know this Jesus that we speak of, this Jesus that would call people from the shore and say, come follow, come be part of my family, this Jesus that laid down his life for you so that we can come into relationship with God the Father, that we may have eternal life. And I'd like to extend an opportunity to you to hear more about him. You might have been away, you might be away from God right now. You might, where you want to be is a miles off from where you actually are, and you know that you need to get some stuff right. You know that you need to come back and be part of the family. If that is you, we have a team. We have the eldership here, and we'd love to just take a moment and stand with you and pray with you and gather around you. So just as we sing, if that is you, if you're in this house and you need prayer, you're wanting someone to stand with you, you're wanting someone just to pray for you, the altar is open. And we would love to have that opportunity to do that. Jesus. Jesus. If you need prayer, you come.